Reverend Hackrin, you've muted yourself as well.
Last time we spoke about the introduction to the 10 fetters, which leads straight into the first one. And the first one in the Abhidhamma is called craving, clinging. And it is especially clinging to what we think of ourselves. And so in the Sutta Pitaka, the first fetter is seen to be the belief in a separate self. So the self that we feel to be, or think to be, or want to explain to be. And based on our memory and our feelings, and mainly based on the past. And we spoke about the image of the self being a bead on a string. And each bead is separate and stands on its own. Each new self succeeds the previous one with great rapidity. So each self, you know, each beat comes with feelings and certain understanding, points of views, thoughts, and is the basis for the next self that comes forth, where these various elements may be slightly different. And the string, as we saw, represents the clinging and the desire. So a bead is conditioned, and conditions the next one, but is not the same from as the next one, slightly different. And so that is how in the Buddha's explanation, the thread that holds the memories, the person belief, is one thread, and the changing elements of what we think is our person are the beats. It's when we really reflect, we can, for example, see how this is true in the way how we got into Buddhism. You know, first you had some contact with the Dharma, then you may have met somebody and read somebody and studied a bit. And so you see, every time you do something in a certain area, it gets stronger. And that is, of course, in this case, a positive, a kind of positive conditioning, that we study in order to find the end of suffering. And when you reflect on life in general, and yours, and of your groups, then you can find elements that you can actually see how something started that you may still be involved in, or thoughts that you're still carrying. Especially things that happened when you were in your teens and early adolescence, we may still carry memories and ideas now. Our bodies it provides a reference point. But the constant coming forth of yet another self, another cell, a new self, it can be hard to see. It's not so obvious. And so we think there is somebody there. There is somebody here. But this is not true. This is not correct. To see that we are carrying a chain of events, to see that what we think now may have come from what we wanted to be or represent in the past. That's a good thing. And to see now that those feelings and those thoughts that we connect with me are just feelings and thoughts. That there isn't actually something lasting. That's a big step. And it is an important step. And it's not just something we do just once, but we need to basically do that in the rest of our lives. So that we stand in truth and not in illusions or reflections or memories. So with meditation and practicing this self-awareness, seeing what our mind do, we can make that understanding and fix that understanding while the flow of cells happen. So while change is happening, we can have the understanding that this is just a change. And every time that we want to see it as real, we can see, oh, this is an opinion. Oh, this is a preference. Oh, this is a thought. So the more we can be aware of where we identify, the better we can let the end identification go. In the Pali language, they spoke about a place, a foundation in the mind, which is the place of truth. And I think in with our meditation, we speak about the sitting place. When we have a strong sitting place, we are not faced and we are not being swept by the train of thought, by the emotions of being for or against. And this sitting place and also this resolve was called in Pali Adi-tana. It is the resolve that the Buddha was aware of when he was meditating under the Bodhi tree.